We're back on Canucks Central. Dan Riccio and Satyar Shah. Canucks trading Daniel Sprong for future considerations to the Seattle Kraken. I know a lot of people are asking about what future considerations entails. The most, or my favorite future considerations story.
Yeah.
Is pre-cap. When Chris Draper was traded from the Winnipeg Jets to the Detroit Red Wings for future considerations. At the time, Draper was a minor leaguer. And what the future considerations ended up being, Sat?
Was it a loonie?
A single dollar.
Yeah.
The Jets got a $1 check in the mail.
Yeah, it's the best
somewhere
story.
Down the line for Chris Draper.
What, could you imagine, like, sending the check, writing the check, and sending the check costs more than what you get by cashing the checks.
Yes. A single dollar.
What a steal! That's a steal. I mean,
yeah, it was a steal. Chris Draper was incredible for the Red Wings, considering they only paid a dollar for him.
Oh, I mean, even so, honestly, he's probably the best fourth line center in a solid third line center.
Yeah,
I actually have a Chris Draper story. I was working out one day at the Pacific Rim Fairmont,
okay,
at their gym.
Yeah,
and Chris Draper was there.
Chris Draper, okay.
And he was like lifting.
Were the Red Wings in town, or
they were in the town? He was with the team or whatever. And like, he was lifting like a madman. Like, the dude's in his 40s and he's lifting. And then, like, I was doing something, and he walked over. He's like, nice job. He's like, try this. And he gave me this, like, he just walked up to me out of nowhere. And he's like, try doing this on this workout set. And it was just like something insane. I was like, okay, all right, cool. And then we just started chatting. And I was like, yeah, I mean, you're really going at it hard. He's like, yeah, we got the outdoor game coming up against the Avs. I'm going to crush those you-know-whats. he was working out hard. He was getting ready for that outdoor game, the alumni game between the Red Wings and the Colorado Avalanche. Claude Lemieux, and then went head to head, and yeah, so that's my Chris Draper story. But as far as future considerations, it could be nothing.
It can't be nothing.
Well, it can. It could be like, if yeah, it can be.
Well, I mean, it can be nothing. But in the cap era, you do have to complete the deal by either sending a player, a pick, or multiple of either. So, will the Canucks end up with a draft pick? Will they end up with a player that's on an expiring deal and, you know, it doesn't feel like they ever got anything for it? Like, yeah, that would be the nothing, is eventually a player comes the Canucks way and that deal just, like, expires right away and it's gone.
Yeah, I mean, it could be something like that,
yeah.
Right? I mean, so it could be like, you know, so we'll see.
But it can't be cash anymore.
No more cash.
Yeah.
Cash can't be traded. The only time cash is exchanged is when a player is claimed off waivers.
Yeah.
And it was like $50,000 or something.
Something like that. So that is it. Daniel Sprong, now a member of the Seattle Kraken. The experiment lasted 9 games.
Yeah.
He did score one goal.
Yeah, I mean.
But that's it.
Maybe they have conditions on the future considerations.
Yeah.
Like, well, if he does certain things, maybe there's a conditional. Like, maybe it goes from, you know, a nothing prospect that you just take the contract back. Or it goes to, like, you know, maybe a 6th round pick.
Yeah.
So now it's conditional future considerations.
The Daniel Sprong revenge game at Rogers Arena set for December 28th, a 1:00 start on Saturday afternoon between the Canucks and Kraken. All right. We spoke to Yannick Hansen earlier today, so we did not talk to him about the Daniel Sprong trade, but we start our conversation with our Friday analyst, brought to you by Metro Ford, Port Coquitlam, and the Magnuson Auto Group. It is Yannick Hansen. Thanks for this, Yannick. What's happening?
Not too much. How are you guys doing?
We're doing pretty well. The Canucks, like, the obvious thing, Quinn Hughes is still doing his thing, but it's felt like over the last week, you know, looking back at that that New Jersey game, they lose 6-0, and then in the 3 games following, they sweep through California. And to me, it felt like their defensive game as a team leveled up through each leg of the trip. Did you see that as well?
Yeah, again, San Jose is that's not really a place I want to measure myself.
Yeah.
Anaheim to a certain extent. Don't get me wrong, you need the points. LA was a good one because LA is a team you have to beat. Need to finish above them. You need to prove that you're better than them. So that's a good place to get points. Last game of the road trip. Again, we always want to see them, how well they match up against the elite. So far, it hasn't been great. They're still getting points here and there and everywhere. So don't get me wrong. They're in a great spot and all of these things. But it would be nice to see them putting on a complete game against these upper echelon teams and not having to rely as much on goaltending, which to a certain extent, these games, yeah, they're winning. But Larkkinen is looking very, very sharp, very good right now. And you never have to apologize for having a good goaltender. I just don't like to rely on it a bit too much.
Well, and, you know, yeah, Dan brought up Quinn Hughes, but honestly, like, watching Quinn do his thing, and it seems like he's even better this year than he was last year. When you see an elite player consistently get better, he went from winning a Norris Trophy, like, how remarkable is it, and what does it say about the mentality of a player like him that continually is finding another level, seemingly?
Yeah, we were looking for the ceiling on him, and he keeps raising the bar. Last year, he put up an obscene amount of helpers. Seems like he's shooting the puck more. He's shooting it harder. He's scoring goals this year as well. So if he can add that, then all of a sudden we're not just looking at Quinn Hughes like, okay, when he's out there, we got to take his options away because he's going to find players here, there, and everywhere. No, you have to cover him now as well so that he don't score on you, which will only open up more opportunities for him. So he's one of those special few players who are able to dominate and take over games and dictate what happens. And not very many players are able to do that. We're talking a handful, if that. So he's skating around and playing at a very special level right now. And again, in Vancouver, we're very, very fortunate that we get to see him every single night with what he does, because it is truly amazing to see. And it's one thing that he gets the results, scores the goals, helpers and all these things, but if you dive into his game and his abilities and skills, what sets him apart is, yeah, it's second to none almost. Like, McDavid skates very, very fast as well. There's no question about that, and the puck follows him around. But when you look at Quinn's footwork on the blue line, across the blue line, going into the zone, it's, I don't think I've ever seen that before. It's so quick, it's so strong. He's impossible to cover. You're just hoping that that he'll get rid of the puck before he does too much damage.
Yeah, after the game last night, JT mentioned, like, when we play teams that go man-on-man and Quinn's at the top of the zone like that, I feel bad for the wingers trying to defend him. It's like you're kind of like, you see that one-on-one play, and Quinn's just like waiting to just absolutely dummy the LA player covering him at the top of the zone. If you're the winger defending that spot, you're kind of cooked. Like, I don't know what you're supposed to do in that moment.
You give him the shot. Well, you try to block the shot, but he's so quick lateral that you can't really get in the lane that well. But you give him the shot. You give him the shot from the point. You hope your D's box out. Block the shot down low, and then you take your battles elsewhere. Because we've seen it now for the past, yeah, year, 2.5 now, that when he starts moving laterally, he will find a lane. So you give him enough space in between yourself and him that he don't go around you to the point where, okay, now he can actually score and he becomes a threat. You gotta give him time and space, which is the opposite of what you want to do with good players. You don't want to give them time and space. But you come at him, he will go around you, and now the scoring chance just becomes that much more dangerous. So if I were playing against him there on the point, I'd invite him in to shoot. Hopefully he sends a wrister. I know he did that last night, and then he finds the back of the net. But that's almost the least dangerous shot or opportunity that he can do. So again, then you're relying on four other guys to make sure that you're boxed out in front of the net or somebody's blocking that wrister.
Well, he's essentially like a press-resistant player. You just can't get too close to him. He's going to get around you one way or another. And, you know, as far as also his shot and the way he's able to get it off, and I know we speak a lot about his velocity, but his ability to find the open lane and also be able to get the puck off in movement as a screen is moving, like, that's also shows you a high level of intelligence and thought even when he's releasing the puck.
Yeah, there's no question. Because all the players in the league can shoot. But you're always, well, why are they never getting the shot through? Well, it's not that easy, because once you start moving, start changing the angle, you start losing your focus of where is the net, where am I going to put it, where are the D's, where are the sticks I'm shooting for. But he's so elusive that I don't know if he's he's aware of that when he's skating. If his head is just up that much that he sees it as it's going, because when I'm thinking about skating that fast with the puck, I got to have my eyes on it. But the puck is still like, is it in San Jose where he goes around as well and then he finds Brock Shaw's stick for tipping? It's like the options just opens up for him, and then he seems to make the right decision. So it's the full package, and like I said, we're fortunate we get to watch it every game because it's one of those things that it's entertaining. That's why people play to watch hockey. It's because you have players like that that will entertain you, that will do something that almost nobody else in this world can do. So again, we're very privileged.
Well, and to see him put the team on his shoulders like this when Miller's playing at less than 100%, and obviously Pedersen's offensive game hasn't yet come around. You know, he's kind of entering the rare territory of a defenseman that could potentially be in the Hart Trophy race.
Yeah, there's no question. He's the MVP for Vancouver right now, and if it continues like this, where there is support, it's not just Quinn and the rest of them, but he drags and wills this team to wins almost every other night. Then you definitely have to put him in that contention. There's no question.
Now, the ugly part of last night's game was unfortunate for Brock Besser, who's had horrible luck. Even last year, right? I mean, the guy scores 40 goals. He's tremendous for this team in the playoffs. And then a blood clotting issue takes him out of Game 7, and he has to deal with that throughout the course of the offseason, and it affects his training and preparation. Gets off to a great start this year, and now he is concussed, it looks like, after he got hit in the head by Tanner Jeannot on a dirty hit. What are your thoughts on that hit, and how much supplemental discipline Jeannot should be facing, as he does have a hearing with the Department of Player Safety?
Yeah, he's going to get suspended, as he should. It's one of those things where I have no problem with Jeannot coming in to hit him there, but he has to make sure he gets his shoulder. As soon as he gets his head, you're at the mercy of the Department of Safety right now. So, like, he can come in and he can finish that check. It might be a little late, too. But he cannot hit his head, and that's the principal point of contact. It's the main contact, and the player gets injured. So it's one of those things where you can't take the physicality out of the game, but the players that are physical have to make sure. You cannot do that, especially east-west. You got to go through the shoulder, through the body, if you want to finish that check. Otherwise, you're gonna get suspended, and hopefully not just a game or two.
I know a lot of our listeners and people on Twitter are mentioning, you know, they wanted to see more of a response to stand up for Besser and go after Jeannot. I mean, the Canucks did score on the power play, but beyond that, it was one of those things. It happened so far behind the play. I'm not sure how many players on the ice actually may have seen what happened. How does a player, when you're on the ice and you just see one of your guys down, do you just find a guy and go after him? Like, how do you want to see a respond in that situation?
Well, first of all, it's Tanner Jeannot, and players know each other. I believe it's Quinn Hughes and Hronek who's out there.
Yeah.
I don't want to see Quinn Hughes go after him. Hronek, he'd be in a tough spot there. If JT sees it, maybe he can do it too, but he's at a huge disadvantage there as well. It's one of those things. The ref blew it down, got it right, major penalty, and then you take his number. And then next time in the lineup, Forbert, Dernay, any one of those bigger guys, tougher guys, it is your responsibility now to come out and let him know that this is not all right. And if the first guy aren't successful with it, well, then it's going to be the next guy. It's the only way to really deal with it, because like I said, he does get taken out of the game. The players you have on the ice plays into this as well. You want a message sent, but if Quinn Hughes goes after him and gets beat up, that's not a message sent. That's just a lost game instead.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those things where you have to be smart about it.
Yeah, for sure. And Quinn does give him a little bit of a shove. It's not like he, you know, didn't do anything, but obviously he's not going to try to fight Tanner Jeannot. As you said, he's in a massive disadvantage in that situation. But we did see in the second period, the Canucks came out and they were notably more physical, and they really got after it with the LA Kings. When you see a teammate go down like that, and you know the game is also tied and close, like, does it give you a little bit more of determination and maybe anger and frustration to take out on the opponent?
There is an anger part. There's no question about that. You lose one of your friends like that. you tend to ramp it up a little bit and say, okay, let's not make sure this one goes on unpunished, if you will. The best response, I know it's a little different in the regular season, but it is winning. That's what hurts the most, taking points from them at the end of the day. And then take it next time when you have somebody who can give you a proper response to this, and then deal with it that way. Like I said, it is hard right in the moment when you see it, if you see it, and you notice that it's a guy, it's like, okay, this guy, he's going to, he might take two of our guys out now instead of just one. And then you wait till the right time for these things to be sorted out.
And, you know, Brock was the team's leading scorer, so that's going to be, if he is out for any amount of time, it's going to be tough to fill his boots right now. But at the same time, they've at least got Jake DeBrusk scoring goals. He's got a goal in each leg of the California trip here. It just felt like his confidence grew as the trip went on, and then the goal he scores last night, he doesn't just immediately whip that pass to the net that he gets from Quinn Hughes. He's patient with it and finds his way to put it home. It's you know, it's kind of the goal scorer that the Canucks thought they were getting in the summer.
Again, very, very good timing here. Not to say that it's just good timing if somebody goes down, but you needed somebody else to start scoring, and then he hadn't been in the first 10 games, and now all of a sudden he's got goals in three straight. So it's one of those where you're starting to see the player. Hopefully he will continue this and become the 30-goal scorer they were thinking, hoping when they signed him. Again, there will be a lot more ice time to go around now in that top six that Brock goes out. So hopefully he'll get some opportunities again on the power play with that group, as a guy is going to be missing there. And maybe that's a way of getting him real going and not just second unit and stuff like that.
The power play did score, obviously, on that five-minute major, but it also had some moments where it didn't look as good as it needed to look. Where are you at with where the power play is kind of trending? And also now with Brock Besser not being there, would you want to see DeBrus get back on the first unit? What would you like to see happen on the first PP unit?
Yeah, that would be the easy solution. He's scoring now. Hopefully he's got some confidence back. He's playing with JT, so you don't have to split them up for the power play shift and then the shift afterwards and stuff like that. So it just makes sense to see if he's the guy that can go in there. He played on a power play in Boston, so it's not like he hasn't played on a power play before. But the power play has been a sore spot for Vancouver for a while now. So hopefully they're finding ways to make this happen and find a way to break through, because once you have special teams that are good, games become a lot easier to win.
We did see Pettersson get the one-timer off last night on that five-minute major. It missed and rimmed around the boards and went out of the zone. But, you know, in watching it, and maybe this is just like a mindset thing and to my eye, but like he just doesn't look as convicted, as confident in that look as he used to.
No, it seemed like he was able to find and pick spots a couple of years ago and just score at will. And it's not there right now, whether that's confidence or whatever it is. It's frustrating for us to watch. I'm sure it's frustrating for him as well. He'd love to fill the net and then be talked about in a different light. I don't have an answer for that one. If I did, I'd probably be working for the Canucks right now. It's one of those things. You hope that the player himself will figure this out and get going, because there's no question you need him, and probably now more than ever, because you're going to miss Brock for, yeah, you don't know with a concussion. He could be back in a week. He could also be out for months. But any time you're missing him, you need somebody else to step up, and he would be the obvious solution for somebody who can fill some of that offense that Brock had been providing in the first couple of weeks here.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, at this stage of the season, if Connor Garland wasn't doing the things he's been doing, the Canucks could be in a lot of trouble. I mean, outside of Quinn Hughes, Garland has probably been their second most valuable skater to begin the season. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, skater, yeah. He's been good for a long time. He finds a way to get involved in games, even when he's not producing. I know he is getting production now, but he always seems to be aggressive on pucks. He skates and works as hard as you can every single time he's out there. So he's one of those guys that you're starting to hear now when words come out of the room, like leadership and part of this, they look to him. So it's a different light than he'd been looked to in the past. And there's no question that he's taken a couple of steps forward this year as well. Like, don't get me wrong, he was very, very good last year. But he wasn't talked upon, looked upon in the same light as JT, Brock, Petey, Quinn, and those guys were. Now he's almost stepping into that group in terms of what he provides and what he does for this team.
So the Edmonton Oilers on tap tomorrow night. It's game eight, as has been the phrase here in the past for other series, as we know. Is there a leftover from the playoffs that a player gets into, like a mindset a player gets into when it's your first meeting after a tough playoff series?
Yeah, there is no question about that. You wanna win game eight, if you will. it matters absolutely nothing in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
But you wanna win that one, and also because like Edmonton is not doing great right now. You have a chance to put your foot on them a little bit. Make it that much harder for them to get back into a position where they want to be. So there's no question this games carry importance and significance other than just it's a 4-point game because it's a Pacific Division rival. Now this is a playoff team that before the season we have them that they could very well finish above Vancouver. So anytime you get a chance to measure yourself up against them. Is a chance for you to prove that, hey, if we see you guys again, we got your number.
Final thing before we let you go. Last night was the first time the Canucks went through California and swept all three games through San Jose, Anaheim, and L.A., and people were shocked and surprised by this. And my response was like, do people not remember how good Anaheim, San Jose, and L.A. used to be? Like, those must have been treacherous trips for you guys 10 years ago.
Yeah, it was. There was... at times, not very often, where one of the teams wasn't as good.
Mm-hmm.
LA was on the rise for a couple of years, but I can't remember ever having any easy games against either San Jose or Anaheim.
Yeah.
They've been Getzlaf, Perry, Solani, like I've never played against anybody other than those guys. So it's like every time you rolled into Anaheim, you knew that this was. This is some of the best players in the league. They were always big and tough and physical, and then they had the skill to punish you as well. So, yeah, I wish the Pacific looked like this 10 years ago, and San Jose wasn't what they had. But, again, it made for some phenomenal rivalries and all these things that you wouldn't want to have without either. But, yeah, it was California trip was a hard trip for any team, to be honest, to come over and do.
Well, you're right. I mean, and the guy we saw last night, and I still marvel at how dominant he is, and he's been doing it now for, 20 years, is Andre Kopitar. Like, he was that dominant when you were playing against him, and now you watch him now. I mean, it's remarkable how a guy can, transcend generations, it seems like, and still be the same player.
Yeah, and he's one of those guys you'd expect to fall off, because he was never fast.
Mm-hmm.
He was never the quickest player in any way, and you know players are good when you're playing against them because of what they do and stuff like that. But I had a chance to play with him in the World Cup of Hockey in 16, and it wasn't until that point that I realized, okay, this guy, he's second, he's it's another level. Because of what they do, you see them a little bit different when you're playing with them. All the little things you don't notice when you're playing against them, then all of a sudden, okay, that worked out well. Okay, he does that as well, and that. So it's he's not flashy. Like, he's not going to burn you with speed. But at the end of the night, he's winning his matchups against the best players in the world, and the production just haven't gone away. He keeps producing at almost a point a game, and he's been doing that for a long, long time. So you tip the hat to these players who keep finding a way. And it's not like he's evolved into something else. No, he's been this player since he stepped into the league.
Yannick, we appreciate the time as always. Thanks so much for this.
Yeah, my pleasure. Take care.
There is Yannick Hansen joining us here on Canuck Central. And again, that conversation before the news came down of the 3-game suspension for Tanner Jeannot and before the Canucks had traded Daniel Sprong. So a couple of big news items happening here today. And Daniel Sprong for future considerations to the Seattle Kraken. We'll get into more of this, plus your questions coming in the mailbag. That's coming up next on Canuck Central.
discussing the biggest stories that matter to Vancouver sports fans. Halford and Brough in the morning. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.